The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We are live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to us on the radio or on our app, The Cure. Please download it from the App Store or listen and see me live on Roku, The Cure channel, as we started live streaming, or on Fiber TV or on Android TV or GodIsTheCure.com, or later listen to the recorded shows via any podcast app. I'm also joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov, who is my partner at work and in life.
Hello. Hello.
This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward, despite any obstacle, and the hope of God and each other. We do provide testimonies to let people know that they're not alone, and in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse, well into young adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and can give valuable information because education is key, transparency is needed, and I believe we can help each other. For me, my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know that we're not alone. Today, I wanted to speak about integrative medicine and bringing science and spirit together. And today's special guest is Dr. Nisha Manick. Dr. Nisha Manick is an internationally recognized leader in the field of integrative medicine. In her commitment and dedication to innovative approaches to health and wellness, she strives to synthesize and unify her work as a physician and scientist with spiritual inquiry and practice. She is a fellow of the American College of Physicians and a fellow of the Royal College of Physicians of the United Kingdom. I love you. I can imagine God saying that to us, and it puts us in a peaceful place. But when it comes to loving ourselves, we don't want to. What holds us back? When the love is there and all is needed, sometimes is a little guidance. I love people. It's also a message to you. Dr. Manick, thank you for being on the show.
Well, good morning to you, Amy.
Good morning.
Good morning from California. It's very sunny here, and I'm really delighted to be on your show.
Well, and here from Miami, sunny back to you. Dr. Manick, could you just give us a little bit about what is integrative medicine? Is it the same as psychoenergetic science? Why should our listeners care?
Right. Great question. So I'm a rheumatologist, and a rheumatologist is a medical doctor specializing in arthritis, and not just joint diseases, but all kinds of diseases to do with the immune system. So to orientate your listeners, rheumatology covers diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and a big one is fibromyalgia. So a rheumatologist is really someone who deals with joint diseases, immune diseases, chronic pain, chronic fatigue. Now, my interest as a medical doctor also branches into integrative practices. Now, you know, it used to be called complementary and alternative medicine, and we realized the word alternative is incorrect. Because really, conventional care has much to offer in rheumatology, and integrative means you integrate into out-of-the-box therapies.
Nice.
So the more correct term now that most people use, and even the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, uses, is complementary and integrative medicine.
So, okay.
my job as an integrative rheumatologist is to really, in my clinical practice at the bedside, is to open up the questions of lifestyle, diet, mind-body therapies, and yes, even the spiritual practices, because we know now that humans are much, much more than just biology and biochemistry. So I hope that gives you a little window into what integrative really means. And if you like, I can share with you some of the national statistics of what Americans do in terms of reaching to integrative practices to bump up their health. You know,
there's
a lot of evidence now that 1 in 3 Americans actually go towards complementary and integrative practices. Why is that? So I'll stop there if you have any other
questions. Would you believe that maybe conventional medicine is no longer enough? There has to be a combination of therapies.
You know, as a rheumatologist, my answer to that, short answer to that, is a resounding yes. And I can tell you, I worked in very big institutes and trained in very rigorous evidence-based medicine. That means, you know, we look towards trial data. We look towards evidence-based medicine to make our decisions of which chemistry, which pharmaceutical, which medicine, which drug will be useful for such and such condition. Now, when we do that, I saw, certainly in my practice, about a good 20-30% of people, even with the best conventional care, there remains a gap to wellness. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Despite our best, you know, diagnostics, modern medicine is incredible. There's no question. We know so much more about the immunology, about why people get the diseases that they do. We can understand the risk factors. And then when we go in to try and fix that, you know, with our chemical medicine, there's no guarantee. And we now know the costs are skyrocketing. There are a lot of side effects. So we have to ask ourselves, step back and say, okay, where are the missing pieces of the puzzle? And so when I, in rheumatology, when I look at all of the amazing advances, there remains a stubborn gap to complete wellness.
Is that what you mean about building a bridge between science and spirit? What are the major themes in building that bridge?
Yes, there is a missing link. And we now know that randomized controlled trials and evidence-based care is very important, but it's not enough. It's not enough because humans, you and I, Amy, are much, much more than just the human body. So when medicine, when you go to the doctor's office, when we do blood testing, when we do x-rays, when we do these things, we're looking at the body, just the what my mentor William Tiller calls the body biosuit, you know. And that's a great place to start, but it's not enough. And so when I was looking into these things and as an integrative rheumatologist, I realized, first of all, 1 in 3 Americans go to integrative medicine, and they go to integrative medicine for one major reason, and it's diseases I see in my clinic every day. Arthritis, pain.
50% of women get arthritis.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know that till now. I found out.
the prevalence of diseases I see in my clinic in rheumatology, women have more prevalence. You know, they're more predominantly women. No question about it. So you have to ask then, why are they going to integrative medicine? The people are having the shift in mindset, and it is as though the medicine is following through, you know. So it was the people who led this revolution. I think it's a revolution. And it started somewhere in the 1990s when we started to see this trend happening where one in three American adult Americans are going to complementary and integrative practices, and those are things such as massage, acupuncture, tai chi, yoga, supplements, all kinds of lifestyle changes, and they were doing it on their own. And now universities and medical centers have started to pay attention, and they began to do some serious research in this.
Nice. I read a study. It's basically taking a holistic approach and integrating the spirit. I see mm-hmm. where you're getting at.
That's right. You know, so first of all, I had to make the jump to, and I did a diploma at the University of Arizona. It's called the Integrative Medicine Fellowship. So while
it's even helped with PTSD and depression. It's really good.
Absolutely.
I'm Amy Cabo, and you're listening to The Cure. We will continue talking to Nisha Manik after this short break. We would love to hear from you.
With Amy Cabo and The Cure. And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back. For those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. If this is your first time tuning in, we are talking about bridging the gap between science and spirit, and we're joined by Nisha Manik. That song Trampoline that you just heard is one of my favorites. It talks about having dreams in an alternative universe, and suddenly the sky erupts, flames around the trees. Haven't we been there before? The nightmares that mesh with the beauty of life. But with God, everything's appreciated. Because if you continue listening to the song, despite the sky erupting and the flames around the trees, she never felt so loved. Dr. Manik, speaking of which, let's talk about PTSD and depression that's being mm-hmm. treated with this integrative medicine approach. Because, for example, I have PTSD and I feel like I've dealt with things, but some people that have dealt with things and have PTSD, they have nightmares and they wake up and sweat, in profound sweat and everything. And I was wondering if this integrative approach, how is it used in cases like this? Depression, PTSD, those symptoms you feel you can't control.
You know, Amy, this is such an important question. And my mentor, William Tiller, I reached out to him for a number of reasons. I was writing a book chapter on the science of Qigong, which is a form of Tai Chi. And, you know, there's a lot of randomized controlled trial data, but I wanted to go deeper into it. And why did I choose William Tiller? It's because when I first met him in Scottsdale, I talked to him just briefly during our dinner meeting. Do you know A Course in Miracles? And I used to be a student of A Course in Miracles. And, you know, he said,
nice.
Oh, yeah, you know, Helen Schuckman, the scribe, visited me at Stanford with the original manuscript. Now, here's a clue. A giant in science meets another giant in spirituality.
Nice.
But I'll segue to PTSD in a moment because
sure.
it tells us, first of all, science and spirit can work together. And in certain minds, it was already a unity. There was never any separation. So I was absolutely astounded. But Tiller was not interested in mentoring a doctor. I said, I really want to learn your model because it seems to me that you're reaching from science into spirit in a very rigorous way, except I just don't understand your model. And I think it's really important for medicine. Well, you know, fast forward a few months, he calls me out of the blue and says, you know, I've been thinking about your request to mentor you, and I've had a change of heart. I think, and this is Tiller speaking
nice.
To me, I think that if you can communicate something of my science to your colleagues in medicine, then it'll be a big service. But, and this is a big but, and I want your listeners to pay attention. Tiller told me, before I do anything, before I accept you into my circle, I want you to start a daily practice of meditation. Amy, let's pause for a moment.
Okay.
When I applied to medical school, or when I applied for, you know, a job somewhere, nowhere in my application form did any medical school say, do you meditate daily? Imagine that. That's saying something of where Tiller was in his mindset. So let's talk about the Tiller model briefly.
Sure.
Tiller shows unequivocally that human intention is incredibly powerful. Not only is it powerful, it can change materials in a specified direction, okay? But what it means for PTSD and another aspect, and I'm going to jump here a little
or
bit for
chronic
you.
Or illness.
Forgive me.
Or chronic illness.
I want to answer your question of PTSD.
Sure.
One aspect I see in my clinic every single day, and it's an epidemic. It's a silent epidemic in the United States and the world over, is the epidemic of loneliness. It's far more prevalent than, you know, heart disease and diabetes and high blood pressure. We know those are risk factors. Those are big health problems in modern medicine. But underlying it is this aspect of loneliness and trauma that medicine cannot get its hands around. We don't even ask, are you lonely? We don't ask those things in a question. We ask about, you know, did you finish your education? Those are important aspects. But we don't understand this.
Depends which doctor do you go to. If you go to a psychiatrist, they will ask you that one.
Yes, yes. But I'm talking in a general medical
right,
clinic.
Right. I'm just joking. You're right.
Yes, yes. And, you know, actually, President Obama had appointed the 19th Surgeon General of the United States, which was Dr. Vivek Murthy. He had pointed out in a very important article in 2017 in the Harvard Business Review, and he says, there is a bigger epidemic in the U.S. health system, and not just the United States. Theresa May, when she was Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, had appointed a new member of parliament to tackle the epidemic of loneliness. So how did Tiller approach this? How do you bridge science, the epidemic of loneliness, and how do you tackle it spiritually? So would you like for me to go into the Tiller target experiments? Because we're jumping a little bit, but I want to lay those foundations for your listeners.
Sure, we have 2 minutes.
Okay. Tiller showed that human intention can change materials in a very specific way. He used water, and he measured the pH of water. With nothing else but just his intention, he could change the pH of water in a very specific way. He could raise the pH or reduce the pH just by his intention.
Now, really?
This is remarkable. When I first ran into this science, I thought, it's impossible. Human intention, just by your thoughts alone, you cannot change water in a specific way. How is that possible? Because water is very important for medicine. And if human intention, which is consciousness, human consciousness can do that, I need to know, I need to find out. What is that model that does this rigorously in a replicative way? You know, science is about replicating data. It's about statistics. It's about measurement. I needed to go there. And that's why I made a jump from medicine, and I took a whole, you know, self-funded scholarship in understanding William Tiller's science. And to just give you another context, your listeners may be aware of the movie What the Bleep. What the Bleep was a very important documentary in 2005, and they surveyed many scientists, and William Tiller was one of the physicists featured in that movie. So that was, you know, his sort of exposure to a larger audience,
I have
because
to watch
he's
that.
Not well known. but I think he should be well known. His science is so incredibly important to make the jump from today's science to the next phase in human evolution.
I do believe it, that intention is very important, because that's what prayer is. When you're praying, yes, you have good intentions for somebody, and prayer can move mountains. So, yes, I do believe it. We have been talking with Dr. Nisha Manick on integrative and information medicine.
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure. And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to us every Saturday at 1 p.m. We're live on the radio or on the app, The Cure, or Roku, The Cure Channel, or on God is The Cure, or The Latest as a podcast. I do want the devil to hate me, because I only want to please God, who has that power over me, and everything I hold dear is in his eyes. It's a constant battle, but God will see us through. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Nisha Manick on mankind's unlimited potential. Dr. Manick, can you tell us more about target experiments? What is the concept and the significance of the results from the target experiments?
That's right. Thank you, Amy. Well, you know, when I'm looking at Tiller's science and I'm in medicine, and I instinctively knew this is really crucial science, except these papers are incredibly difficult to read, full of equations and terminology that, as a physician, I didn't have any context. But I knew in my heart, I knew this is really crucial. And when I met Tiller and he said, yes, I know A Course in Miracles, this is how I lead my life, and yes, Nisha, if I work with you, you need to do meditation, I knew I had found my mentor. And so I jumped ship in a way. Well, I continued, medical practice, but I set aside a lot of time, and I moved to Arizona to be closer to Dr. Tiller and understand his science more. Like I said, I didn't believe that human intention can change materials. So I went off to study at his lab. And Tiller had labs in Payson, Arizona. And Payson is in the central part of Arizona. It's in the highlands, in high altitude pine forest, incredibly beautiful, peaceful. And when I first went to his lab, it was like entering, let me put it this way, sacred space. I thought, what is this?
Nice.
You have meters and gauges and graphs and all this kind of physics materials, and yet I don't feel like I'm standing in there. I'm standing like I'm in an empty cathedral, and it was very intriguing to me. And that was the first clue. Something about Tiller's intention is more powerful. I wanted to go into that power. So he did very interesting experiments, and Tiller was at Stanford University before he retired. For about 30 to 40 years, he was the chair at Stanford University in California of the Department of Material Science and Engineering. He was also a leading authority in crystals. So Tiller really understands materials, he understands engineering, and his mindset is to bridge, really in a conventional way, to bridge big concepts very rigorously, as an engineer would. So he set out to test his intention. And he did these experiments while he was at Stanford. So let's back up a moment. If you had to test your intention, how would you do this without the brain? Tiller made a very significant jump. And I think he was closer to the truth about consciousness and intention than any science that I know of. Because in medicine, when we talk intention and consciousness, we look to the brain, and we look at brain images, all the color, all the blood flow, all those things.
Right, it's more scientific.
Right, but I think Tiller was more closer to the truth, because he said, okay, the brain is an important wiring instrument. It's in space and time, and consciousness is beyond that. Mm-hmm. Consciousness seems to be everywhereness. It's beyond space and time as we know it, as we measure it, as we understand in equations. And when I listen to him and I think, that's so true. Consciousness is not limited to a space between our ears. It is not, it's faster than what we think about milliseconds of, you know, synapses in your brain neurons. It's much, much more. And so he set out to test his intention in strictly controlled environment of a physics lab at Stanford. And what he did was this. First of all, when you intend something, you are creating something. So if there's one point...
Like energy waves?
When you do intention, you are creating something. Okay? Intention is a process of creation. A very important definition. So if there's one thing your listeners want to highlight, it's this. Intention is a process of creation. So Tiller asked in his material mind, his physicist mind, what will I create? What do I create in my intention? Now remember, he is a giant in material science. He knows, say, a crystal, he knows water, he knows those materials intimately from a physics conventional perspective. So he says, with my intention, can I create a new water? Essentially, that's what he did. And he set out to write on a piece of paper. He created information. This is the second piece of the puzzle. When you create something, you create information. You create information in poetry. You create information in an equation. You create information in painting. I create information talking to Amy right now. I'm creating things.
Is this what you mean by information? Is this what you mean by information medicine? And is it different than integrative medicine?
Well, we'll come back to that. But we're reaching, we're bridging. You have to have a brick of understanding to get to that information. So
okay.
Tiller found the first thing is you intend. You create information. Now, that information he captured in a device. Because, you know, when you try to change a material, first of all, you don't know if it will ever work in a lab. You have to, you know, you can hold an intention forever to change pH of water. Well, how can you do that? Will it take weeks or months? You can't keep intending forever or repetitively.
Yes, I'd like to know.
Yeah, so Tiller did something very, very interesting. He and a group of his, it was two or three of his graduate students, held an intention in a meditation. First of all, they went into a deep state of meditation.
Okay.
Then they held the information, that intention, in their minds collectively, and they captured that into a device. That device is a simple black box, which then is used to broadcast that information to the target, which is water. And they found, astonishingly, and this is why I said you cannot possibly do this, but Tiller showed that you can, and you can do this repetitively. It's been replicated hundreds of times.
So that's what, he changed the pH of the water?
Well, it was a study that I read.
Yes, this is the target experiment. And so he intended, first of all,
okay,
to change
that's very
the
interesting,
pH
but
to increase.
Can we go to another experiment that I was reading about that he performed some kind of experiment in which he treated depression far away?
Yes.
PTSD from a distance, and there was a control group that was taking conventional medication, and the other group was doing the integrated medicine.
So let's
what you're
talk
talking
about
that.
This device is stable. It does capture, in other words, humans can influence machines. That's psychoenergetics, okay? That's the whole basis.
That's amazing.
Tiller used that old science and realized that when you intend, you can influence objects, and we know this. This is old science, okay? So it's called psychoenergetic science. When you have a device that you can imprint, say he actually teamed up with Dr. Gabrielle Hilberg, and she's a psychologist in San Francisco. Gabrielle and Dr. Tiller teamed up to help people with loneliness. Okay,
nice.
And they were based in San Francisco, very successful people, but they were coming to Gabrielle Hilberg, Dr. Hilberg's practice.
Like,
and she
when you say loneliness, is that the diagnosis?
It's part of depression.
Well, it is, you know, it is self-esteem, low self-esteem, low self-acceptance, anxiety. So they did various markers in this self-acceptance, or what he calls self-love or self-consciousness project or self-love project with Gabrielle. And it was a small protocol. I mean, there were about 39 people who signed up. But these are very, very successful people in San Francisco. And this is what they did. Tiller created a statement, an intention statement, to help people with low self-esteem and anxiety, okay?
We will be right back with Amy Cabell and The Cure. And now we will continue with Amy Cabell and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabell, and this is The Cure. We're live every Saturday at 1 p.m. The radio, the app, The Cure, Roku, GodIsTheCure.com. Today, we're joined by Dr. Nisha Manik, talking about mankind's limited potential. I do love the wind in my hair when I drive my car, feeling the breeze with Bobby by my side, and the long hot days are uplifting as I make it a point to appreciate nature and all the beauty that surrounds us. God has been the sunshine in my life, and with him, I know I can get far, because it's amazing how often I now look up at the sky. This song reminds me of how grateful I am, always lifts my spirits when it plays when I drive. Dr. Manik, we were talking before we got cut by the hard break. We were talking about an experiment that was done on loneliness, focusing on self-compassion, using intentional healing.
Yes. So, you know, it comes to that. I loved your little poetry that...
Thank you.
You know, God is the cure. And when Master Jesus says, you shall do these things and greater than these you shall do, is that correct? And it, so it reminds me when Tiller, as a scientist, shows that we are in the image of the Creator. We create information. We have the power to change something in a beneficial way. And that device that he imprinted was then later on shown to affect, you know, this small trial, 40 people or so in San Francisco, could be uplifted. They could feel less anxious, more self-love, greater self-esteem. It was amazing when the statistics are done that in a short 12 months or so of this program, and remember, the device is in Arizona.
So it's not even with them. It's not even with the people.
Exactly. There's one device in Arizona which broadcasts information. How does the information travel? It's not through a telephone line.
No.
So this is where my book begins to explore the Tiller model, which starts to explain this really miraculous phenomena at a distance. This distance as a healing, or a healing at a distance, or prayer, there is real power, you know, and I have a terminology, I call it in my book, the granny effect. The grandmother in her church that is praying for you, you better believe it. She has great power, okay?
Nice.
And so when her and Gabrielle Hilberg did this experiment, what was really amazing is that not only were the primary outcomes met, that means people felt less anxious, less depressed, less lonely, and you could show this by st- standardized questionnaires, but there was a spillover effect. People started to have more coherence in their lives. By that I mean they chose better diets, they lost weight, they became tidier in their lives. They felt nothing in their outer conditions had changed, remember that. But something in their souls shifted. And you could see, you know, I feel happier. Everything else is the same. They're neater in their lives. They're more on time. They lost weight. So you could see a spillover over effect in many facets of their lives, much, much more than just and lessening their anxiety, which was, of course, the primary thing they were going for. So something about this information medicine is very powerful. Without chemicals, without any physical contact, Tiller has a way to reach out to the suffering on the planet. And that's what I mean by a very high consciousness.
So is this like a limited power, or it just goes directional to certain place and certain people?
In this case, it went to those people who had signed up. But here's the other beautiful aspect about the Tiller physics, Boris, that you bring about. When one person raises his or her consciousness, it's like the sea rises and all the corks float higher, all the ships float higher. Your prayer is not only just about you, it lifts all of humanity.
Nice.
Oh, this is very inspiring.
Us.
Yes. So we're not doomed.
I like it.
That's good.
We're not doomed. Not at all. Not at all. We have to stop watching the media all day. The media that you and Amy are putting out that shows that there is great love.
Yeah.
The conditions for love exist in every facet, in every way.
It does
exist, and we must become aware of that and reach out deep inside and lift ourselves. And Tiller's raising the sea. To him, he's not burning out. You know, as physicians, we're burning out. We're looking to science all the time. And here's Tiller showing, yes, you can be anchored in science, but you can have the power of the heart. And
so,
you can uplift your fellow human being.
So these people, just by knowing that someone had good intentions over them, were able to increase their self-compassion and integrate self-gratitude?
Yes, but it happened 24/7. It's like a healing
bomb
is reaching out to you from Payson, Arizona.
That's incredible.
Where is the connection? Can we hook to that line here to Miami?
Can we?
You know, and
how can anyone sign up?
You know, so Dr. Tiller has you listen. Just your listeners listening to this to become aware of the field effect. This is what Tiller calls the field effect.
There you go.
Field means there's a continuum. There's no gap. The field is everywhere, and it's the field effect that accounts for the distant healing effect. The field is not just electromagnetism. You and I are creating field effects all of the time.
And like we're energy fields.
Information energy.
Yes.
Wow. Well,
you mentioned something, Amy. Tell me more.
Well, energy fields. I feel like because we were made in the image of Christ, each one of us is an energy field. And like if we have positive energy, it's contagious and other people feel good around. I've seen it. I've seen this happen just by having a positive attitude, and it's contagious. And that's what I mean is that each one of us.
You know, when we look to science about, you know, when we say the word energy, and, you know, in my book I talk about energy, you'd be surprised that physics or chemistry texts actually don't mention energy as such.
I was just guessing.
In medicine, energy means calories, right? And so when
about
energy, I bridge to information. That's more fundamental. Information and energy are intertwined. They're intimately related. Energy and information, what you create is the source of energy. But information is more fundamental. What information are you going to create today? What is your intention holding today? And then it has consequences on energy. You feel more energetic. And we all want more energy anyway. So it's not just eating more healthily. Your intention, that information you hold inside, is incredibly powerful.
Well,
and
correct.
What is the power of the heart but that? That's informational.
Yes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't your intention lead to everything else? Your actions,
absolutely.
How you feel?
But you have to clarify, Amy, you have to clarify the inner noise. You have
yes.
to clarify your motivation. So Tiller, when he said to me, meditate, he wanted for me to clear out my inner noise, lessen the inner noise. And it takes time. That's okay. You get to know yourself.
Do you still meditate?
Thyself. Sorry?
Do you still meditate?
Every day.
And you
it's
notice the difference.
Beautiful thing I can do. If there's one thing your listeners can take away from this, is form your spiritual practice. And it can be contemplating the Bible.
Or praying a rosary.
Sorry?
Or praying a rosary. It's
absolutely.
So many repetitive prayers, it's kind of like meditation.
you know, there's the many spiritual tools out there. Find one.
Yes.
And be relentless about it.
Yes.
So can I read a paragraph from my book? Because, you know, when I came to learn about Tiller's power, because he is incredibly powerful, inquiring into his physics, I came to feel that if I could discover where Tiller got his power, this power I didn't understand, if I could explain it, I would be adding something to the knowledge people ought to have about the power of intention.
Nice.
Not the kinds of things you read in books.
Thank
but the
you.
The real world existence of power.
Amazing.
And about how power works in nature and how it truly works in your life and around you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Manik, for being with us. We've reached the end again. For more information, thank you so much. It's amazing information. Thank you. For more information on Dr. Nisha Manik and her work can be found on GodIsTheCure.com. Under guests, her new book, Bridging Science and Spirit, is available on pre-order on Amazon. I will leave you with a daily word. We are all damaged. We've all been hurt. We have all had to learn painful lessons. We are recovering from mistakes, losses, betrayals, abuses, injustices, or misfortunes. Life is a process of recovery. We each must find ways to accept and move through the pain and to pick ourselves back up. For each pang of grief, depression, doubt, or despair, there is direction toward renewal that will come to us in time. Each tragedy is an announcement that something good will indeed eventually come. Be patient with ourselves. God is watching over us. We thank you, God. Let's pray. Loving God, I pray that you will comfort me in my suffering, lend skills to the hands of my healers, and bless the means used for my cure. Give me such confidence in the power of your grace. And even when I'm afraid, I put my whole trust in you, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And from the Bible, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah 41:10. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Have a great weekend. Until next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit GodIsTheCure.com.